Wonderful, lovely, familiar Mozart music that we're hearing, eine kleine Nachtmusik, the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Bobby McFerrin, of all people. Of all people, Mateusz Bolski is here. Hello, Mateusz.
Good morning, Vern.
And is that exactly the way we're going to hear eine kleine Nachtmusik when it comes around a week from tonight, I think?
Not quite.
Okay.
Not quite. Yes, we're going to open the M show that is going to be held at the Cracker Building on the Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. next week. Yes, we're going to open it with the Eine Kleine, but it's not going to be sounding exactly like this. There's there's going to be a lot of twists and turns that are going to happen. And thanks to my absolutely wonderful arranger, David Armstrong, there are going to be some really funny musical jokes put into that piece, because we are going to be using an ensemble that is not quite orthodox as far as its composition is concerned. We're going to have essentially like a string quintet with the solo violin, solo trumpet, solo trombone, and the triangle.
Perfect. The Eine kleine Nachtmusik. Or eine kleine Nachtmeer Musik, as one of the many perversions of that was called, meaning changing night to nightmare. And that's maybe close to the M show, which is subtitled Music, Mayhem, and Mystery, which is your amazing thing that you've been working on for over a year now, haven't you?
At least about.
It's been gestating in your brain.
Yeah, I mean, we're down to the wire. There's a lot of very interesting things that I've been going through lately to bring this to life, because as your listeners might not know, the whole concept for the show is to take a funny lens on the classical musicians, let them still be virtuosos as they are, and do what they do best, but also put them into situations that are either extremely challenging because of the weather. Like, for example, last week we were doing a video where we were experimenting and trying to see what is the effects of a cold, snowy weather on our performance. It came out of the discussion. It's like, who is playing the manliest instrument? So, of course, we had to say, okay, let's go outside, let's check. We have that on the video, and it's hilarious. And part of the show is that It's very multimedia heavy, so we will have segments that are pre-recorded video that are going to be segueing directly into kind of a live skits on the stage, as seamlessly as we can get it. And that allows me to kind of give the audience a sense that they're out there in the big open spaces, and then they come back into this very nice cozy atmosphere of a Cracker Building, because that venue can only host about 400 people, so it can be very close up and personal with the musicians at the same time. So the videos allow me to kind of open things up big time and then bring them back to, you know, this kind of close atmosphere.
The M show, which makes its debut next Friday and Saturday, a week from tonight, and then the following night. And you know, let's take apart a few more of your motivations and your concepts behind this. And the first one, which I like a lot, is finding the people behind the instruments, because you and I, who have lived in the classical world, where we have been taught that when you're sitting on stage, you're not supposed to be wildly reacting. You're supposed to be creating very muted responses on your face and with your body language. It's just kind of the vibe of a symphony, what we're taught implicitly in a symphony orchestra, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, in a way, you know, the being part of the symphony orchestra discourages individualism. Well, mm-hmm. unless you're maybe a concertmaster mm-hmm. or a principal, you know, you have places where you're allowed to shine, you're allowed to show your personality. Mm-hmm. But other than that, let's fall in line, and that is for the purpose of playing some great masterworks. It completely makes sense. However, you know what lies underneath. I think it's absolutely fascinating because perception of the classical musician is is this penguin that is well trained to just march with everybody else in unison. But actually, when you peel the tax off and see what happens after the show, you get a glimpse at things that you probably didn't even imagine that they are there, because musicians are inherently very creative. Incredibly competitive. I mean, getting a job in the orchestra at the level of our orchestra, it's a very grueling and very competitive process. Then, of course, you know, try to get a few musicians to play a board game, see how competitive the crowd gets, or like have them order pizza. I mean, it can be very, very hilarious exercise. So, I wanted to show people what this kind of situation looks like when we are not on the stage, we are not dressed up, when we are not playing a masterwork. Who are we and what are we capable of? And that's kind of was beginning of the thinking process. And then and of course this escalated very, very quickly into things that just lead to extremely hilarious, funny and joyful situations.
Mm-hmm. And I presume that you're out of this, hoping the byproduct is other people who have stayed away from classical music might dip their toes in?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that there is the whole traditional concert going experience can be quite intimidating. You know, you feel like, I mean, what do I wear? You know, how do I behave? When do I clap? It's almost like, you know, first I'm going to church for somebody. You know, what do I do? Mm-hmm. So quite often, and then it's like, what, I'm going to sit for an hour or 2 hours somewhere, and am I going to like it? I don't know. So, you know, there's a lot of factors why to say no to going to a classical music experience. With this show, the idea is here that you are going to come for essentially a cross between the late night comedy show, a little bit of SNL, a little bit of Top Gear, which is a British automotive car show. So you're going to come and have a good time. It also going to be, you know, sort of performed by the classical musicians. So it's going to be a little classier than your typical stand-up that you normally get. And you're going to learn one or a few or two things, or maybe more, about, you know, what is this guy doing with the violin and how that works, and or the trumpet player or a trombone. You're going to come out with an insights that you are just not aware of. And if you do that, maybe you realize, hey, you know, actually, those classical musicians are pretty cool cats. Let's give them a try. Let me go to actually real performance. And that will be absolutely wonderful if we could accomplish that. If not, well, there'll be another M show. So if you like just that bit, then you can always come and join us for the next one. And I think it's end of May. Mm-hmm. So we'll be kind of, I'm treating the M show for myself as in a way an experimental environment, mm-hmm. where I'm trying to push the boundaries, redefine who the classical musicians are, what the classical music is into this day and age. I'm using a lot of interesting technology. Also trying to see how do we fit in the world of technology today. Because, you know, when the whole thing started with the invention of the violin, you know, something somewhere in the 1610 or so, you know, this was the cutting edge technology that humankind could come up with. This was the smallest, violin was the smallest instrument that had the biggest sound. You could carry it around, you know, equivalent of a sort of Walkman, you know, or an iPod. Today we're still using it in the same way. Mm-hmm. Find me a piece of technology that is not a hammer that still does the same thing 400 years later. And that fascination with with the violin, to me, just directly translates to everything that the modern technology brings today with the cameras, editing things, sound effects, and light effects, and all sorts of other wonderful things that we'll be using through the show.
Mm-hmm. You previously mentioned some of your models of Saturday Night Live and Top Gear and things like that. Is that kind of a double-edged sword? On one hand, you get ideas and see how to do it, but on the other hand, you realize there's a level set?
Well, yeah, but you know, see, I was doing a lot of soul searching because obviously I'm not a professional actor, I'm not a professional stand-up comedian, so none of my compatriots on stage, we're not trained into this kind of world. So obviously, to begin with, we are in a tremendous disadvantage if there is an expectation. It's like, are those guys going to be as funny as the SNL people? However, you see, I think the power of comedy, in the way we are trying to do to use it, comes from the setting up us in the funny situation, particularly with the challenges or arrangements of music, where all we are doing is we are just trying to do the best job that we're trained for, but because, you know, it's harder than normal, therefore it becomes funny. And a lot of videos that we actually filmed, what we found out when we tried to do things scripted, I mean, you have no idea. Hopefully at some point I will have a highlight reel of us trying to act. And it's as bad as it possibly can get. I mean, you give any one of us lines to kind of read. It's going to be funny in itself and tragic. But if you actually look at us being ourselves when we get into a challenge, and we just have a wonderful videographer, Jim Svoboda, who is shooting it, or as it happens, which makes it a nightmare for editing, you capture us being real and us being surprised. And some of these challenges that we set out for ourselves, you know, they started as one thing and we arrived at completely unexpected things. But so it's everything is kind of improvised. But because of that, it's fresh, it's real, it's genuine, and to me and some people that have seen some of the footage and heard the concept of the skits, I mean, they find it hilarious. So I think we definitely have something that I don't think it's going to feel like, I wish those guys got a little bit more training as an actors. No, that's entirely the opposite. You know, we're almost doing a reality TV-like experience, just being ourselves, and we forget that the camera is even there. And then things are really starting to get out of hand.
Mateusz Wolski giving us some previews of the M Show, which is next weekend, the 19th and 20th at the Washington Cracker Building. Let's take a quick musical interlude and then come right back. Okay, Mateusz Wolski, you're highly competitive, you plural. Are you going to play that faster than Isaac Stern in the 1950s?
Well, maybe. we actually, one of the pieces on the program, it is going to be a Flight of the Bumblebee. However, it's going to be arranged a little differently because I have an ongoing competition with our wonderful principal trombone player, Ross, and our third trumpet player, Eric. And we're going to be racing in the flight of the bumblebee to see, you know, who can play it faster. So David Armstrong, who is our assistant principal, second violin, is a wonderful arranger. He arranged this for us, for violin and trumpet and the trombone to be the solo instruments, trading lines, adding some also very interesting twists and turns to the composition. So, yeah, so again, it's going to start out more or less as a regular flight of the bumblebee, but yeah, it's then the things are going to happen due to the competitive nature of three of us trying to play and get through that difficult music. And yeah, so I'm very much looking forward to it, practicing as much as I can, because I know the other guys are as well practicing hard to see who can play it faster.
Okay, so a little bit of competitive stuff here, and we also know you as a competitive auto racer, and when you do that, you have a certain danger that if you crash, you'll die. What's the worst that'll happen if you and the trombone and the trumpet crash here?
Well, I don't know, you know. Well, let's hope that we are not going to have any bent valves like it happens when you car race. No. I think if we crash and burn, it's just going to be more funny. You know, we might die trying, but we'll try to, just have a one on top of it. I mean, just do better than the next guy. So, you know, if somebody's crashing and burning, good for me, good for them. I mean, I'm still alive. I'm still charging up forward. So. Yeah, so we'll, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, that's the wonderful nature of this live show, is that we have certain ideas, but we don't know where it's going to end up. Mm. And it's a mystery to us as much as it's going to be a mystery to the audience. So I'm looking forward to that.
And what other mysteries can you reveal without revealing? You have a mystery guest?
Yes, we have a mystery celebrity guest that is going to make an appearance. It's somebody that is... well known in the Spokane community, so yeah, I've met with that person. We kind of outlined what kind of challenges I'm going to put them through, and we're having a blast. I mean, you know, so yeah, you want to meet somebody famous besides us? You will have that chance. Also, I should mention that, you know, the show is going to be roughly an hour long, from 8 to 9. However, it's happening in the Cracker Building, that it's a beer wine bar at the same time. So you can have a drink while we're performing. Or, you know, I'm imagining that we'll have a party going on right after where we can just talk about the show. You can meet the musicians. You can kind of talk with us to see, you know, how much of a good time do we have. Congratulate the winners that win the challenges. I don't know who is going to ultimately be the winner, but we'll all be trying to definitely do better than the next guy. So we'll see. We'll see.
Washington Cracker Building, which has the decades-old painting on the side that implies that. It's also known by some people as the Terrain Building, and so that's another way to find it. Conceptually, it's about a block east of Washington Street and a block north of Second Avenue, right there. So if you've not encountered many of the interesting alternative things going on there, I think this is certainly going to maybe even enhance the reputation of what we call the Terrain Building with the M show that Mateusz Bolski has conceived for this. Any other little things you want to slip in here?
I wanted to mention that we manage, which I'm very extremely happy about, we actually are going to have a professional, several crew camera sets. That, so essentially the whole show is going to be taped. So the experience for the audience is going to be very much like taping of a late night show. So yeah, if you're planning not to bring your spouse but somebody else, maybe please don't. because if we happen to catch a glimpse, that can lead to all sorts of uncomfortable questions. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to create something that it's more than just what typically you would expect from our, you know, small city, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I'm super psyched. It's from what I'm seeing and the chemistry that we have, and laughs and joy of going through this whole process. So far, it's been an absolutely wonderful experience for me and for my friends. So I think if people can come and join the fun, I think it's impossible not to have a great time.
That'll be 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, the 19th and 20th, a week hence, in the Washington Cracker Building, the M Show, Music, Mayhem, and Mystery. Well, I know you have foolishly being the originator, the prime performer, and the producer, you have a pocket full of things to attend to.
Yes, and I still have to practice, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is that too.
You know, well, I have to win, you know.
There you go. Well, thank you, Mateusz Wolski.